So that answers the question, where are his disciples? They're everywhere. 2,000 years later, and he has his people all over the planet doing his work. Last Sunday was Easter Sunday, the celebration of resurrection, new life, and all that that means to us. And we talked a little bit last week on Easter about Christ's famous last words, the seven sayings he spoke from the cross. And today we want to follow up, especially on one of those points. I think this is a relevant word. It is an in-season word for many who are here today. The Bible says that Jesus faced every temptation known to man. Every temptation. Can you even count the number of temptations you faced in your lifetime? And then the thought that Jesus, the Son of God, was tempted in every point just like we are. And one of his temptations was the temptation to quit, just to give up on his mission, to throw in the towel. In fact, even as late as the moment he was hanging on the cross, he had the power to call 10,000 angels to his side to destroy the world and let him go free, yet he remained faithful. He did not stop short of accomplishing his mission. And I want to talk about that today. If we've ever been tempted to give up, to become discouraged and quit, then that is a temptation Jesus also faced with victory. In Hebrews chapter 12, the first three verses, and today I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. Listen to the Word of God. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence, powerful words right there, the race that is set before us. We're talking about a race we're running today. Looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, the first incentive for our belief and the one who brings our faith to maturity, who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. Now, a race began the moment Christ was resurrected from the dead and his many followers realized he, in fact, was God in the flesh. And ever since that day, 2,000 years ago, right on up until this very moment, we are runners in that same race. The generations before us, those who loved God and passed on to us what had been passed on to them, like a baton in a relay race. It has fallen to us now in our generation to keep running this race, the Christian race, and we're told how to run it. And we need to know how to run it, or else we will be tempted to give up and quit. Have you had any opportunities lately simply to become discouraged and the thought has crossed your mind, it's just not worth it, I'll never make it, I might as well just give up now? No, we're told to run with endurance toward the finish line. Those who sit on the sidelines have no chance of ever reaching the goal. And there is a goal, and there will be challenges. Training is required, and there is a finish line in sight. Now, we know where the end of this race is. We're going to spend forever with God in heaven. We know where we're headed. It's getting there that's our natural human experience and challenge. In Alice in Wonderland, for those of you who've read that classic book, there was a conversation between Alice, the star of the book, and the Cheshire Cat. And Alice asked the cat, "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" And the cat said, "That depends on where you want to go." And Alice said, "I don't much care where." And then the cat replied, "Then it doesn't matter which way you go. If you really just don't care where you're going, it doesn't matter how you get there." But that's not the case with us. We know our destiny. We know our destination. And we have a road map. It's better than GPS technology that will get us from here to there. It matters which way we go. And we're all running in a race. Today I'm talking about the winner's code. There is a secret to success in running this race, and the winner knows the secret, and it's a simple one, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. Now, the runner, all of us, each of us as a runner, we intend to wind up in the winner's circle. And we've got to know the secret of how to get there. God reveals it to us in His Word and by His Spirit. And the secret to winning this race is simple. Stay focused and never give up. How simple. But don't you know, if Jesus faced every temptation known to man, He had to be tempted to quit and give up. He had to be tempted to lose focus of the big picture and the purpose the Father had in His life. Now, we want to revisit a few of those phrases we just read out of Hebrews 12. It says, first of all, that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And I've heard it taught in my experience. Other ministers have talked about this great cloud of witnesses that is cheering us on as we run the race. And the great cloud, I've been taught, and I like it, it's okay with me, those who've gone on before us, those who are already in heaven, those who've run the race we're now running, and they've already crossed the finish line. The many in that great cloud of witnesses that are looking down on us, cheering us on as we run our leg of the race. And I'm all right with that, but I don't think the great cloud of witnesses is only those in heaven. Yes, they're a part of the great cloud. They are cheering us on from the other side. But I believe even those who are connected to us in our church family, you are surrounded, even right here on earth, with people who can support you and cheer you on. We are part of the great cloud, I believe, of witnesses for each other. And the Bible says we're surrounded by them. Now, we are surrounded by angels that are assigned to us, and I do believe somehow that those who've gone on before us in the faith are rooting for us. They're interceding for us. I have scripture on that, actually. The Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He's forever making intercession and praying for us. And then when we get there, we will be seated with Him. So if we're sitting right there where Jesus is sitting, and if He's interceding for those of us who remain in the earth, I'm sure when we sit beside Him, we'll participate in what He's doing. And so the great cloud of witnesses that are in heaven are cheering us on. But we have an entourage, each of us, a network. It's a circle of support for each of us. The Bible says we're surrounded. For those of you who are sitting here today and you have believed the lie that you're all alone, no, you are surrounded. Surrounded by people that can support you and assist you and help you run the race. We do that for each other. You are not alone. One of the things Christ suffered on the cross is abandonment. And there was that one moment in history where all of the sin in the world fell on Him. He became sin. And at that moment, since God the Father cannot look on sin, God the Father had to turn his back. And at that moment, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was the word of abandonment. For that moment, Jesus was all alone. Even the Father had turned away. But Jesus suffered that abandonment momentarily so that we wouldn't have to. That's why he could tell the truth when he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Some of you live alone and you do spend a lot of your time alone, but you're never truly alone, because if it's just you and the Lord, you're in great company. But beyond that, none of us are abandoned. Christ was abandoned so that we would never have to be. We are surrounded. So don't be discouraged and believe the lie that you're all alone and there's no one to help you. You're surrounded with an entourage, heavenly and earthly support to help us get through the race. Discouragement. Don't let it have a part in your race. It'll knock you out of the race quicker than anything. The story is told, it's mythological, but the devil had so much clutter in his garage, he decided he was going to have a garage sale and sell off all the things that he really didn't use much anymore, worn out tools, things like that. So the devil had a yard sale, and he had put on display for purchase all of the tools that he no longer used. And the people who were shopping looked over the tools and they picked up one in particular and they noticed this one's the most worn out tool of them all. And so they asked the devil, what about this tool? It looks like it's been used more than any of the others. What's this about? And the devil looked at that tool and said, oh no, I have made a mistake. That is my tool of discouragement. I have used it more than any other tool because it works more than any other. And it's a mistake that it's out here. I didn't mean to sell that tool. I'm going to keep discouragement and continue using it against God's people. That was the day the devil made a mistake. He's bad at making mistakes. So the devil's yard sale, that's a good reminder, anytime you feel like giving in to discouragement, remember, that's just the tool of the devil and have nothing to do with it. And the Bible says here in the scripture, let us run the race set before you. Your race is different than mine. Now, we're all on the same highway, all headed in the same direction, but we're at different mile markers on the journey, and my lane is different than your lane. You've seen the Olympic races. They all have to stay in their lane. Problems happen when people cross the line, disrespect boundaries, get out of their grace zone, try to be somebody else or to be like somebody else. And one translation says, let us run the race set before you, the race marked out for you alone. Each of us have an individual race to run. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it speaks more specifically about the race. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run their very best to win? But only one receives the prize. Run your race in such a way that you may seize the prize and make it yours. Now, every athlete who goes into training and competes in the game is disciplined and exercises self-control in all things. They do it to win a crown that withers, but we do it to receive an imperishable crown that cannot wither. Paul said, therefore, I do not run without a definite goal. I do not flail around like one beating the air, just shadow boxing. That's how serious running this race is. And the Message translation says it a little differently. You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, one wins. Run to win. All the good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. But you're after a medal that is gold eternally. And then Paul said, I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. Now, that's the commitment that we must make in running this race. Then we're told here to lay aside things that hold you back. Of course, there's sin that will hold you back, but then there are other things, too, that just weigh you down. Boy, we live in a day unlike any other age before us, to where there's so many opportunities to be weighed down with concerns and cares and worries and anxieties of the world. Pastor Steve and I were talking recently, and we talked about how simple the world used to be. That for thousands of years, everybody would get up. And, you know, if they went anywhere, it was on foot or a mule or an ox. And they knew what to do every day. Plant a seed, water it, and tend it. And sooner or later, you could harvest it and cook it and eat it. And then you did it again. And you just, that was how simple life was for our ancestors. But not so in our day. About 150 years ago, there was a seismic change, a shift in culture all over the world. We became more civilized and industrialized and revolutionized, and all of that's good. Don't we enjoy being cool in here on a hot summer day? Love it all. But with it, if we're not careful, comes the temptation to be distracted, and we keep holding on to things that hinder us in running a good race. Not just sin, but things in general that will not help us reach the finish line. Paul said, I run with purpose in every step. And Paul said about laying aside certain things that will hinder the race. He said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. Now, that's a good word for all of us. All things are lawful, but not everything is helpful in running this race. And then we read in the Amplified Bible, it says, looking away from all that will distract us. So much distraction. Hello. Some of you are checking your phone right now. So much distraction. I'm going to go home and get on Facebook and find out what you posted during this hour right here. I Googled a list of distractions. That's all I Googled. This is one thing that came up. Our world has become a constant feed of information, noise, and entertainment. Our phones live not just in our pockets, but in front of our eyes. Breaking news breaks into our day at breakneck speed. And we're fed messages relentlessly from advertisements on nearly every flat surface. Each distraction enters our mind with one goal: to gain control of our attention. Easy, easy in our day. As a result, we live distracted lives, and our ability to focus suffers significantly. It is clear that distractions are not going away on their own. Instead, the responsibility is ours to live attentive, intentional lives in a world of distraction. Our smartphones have quickly become one of the greatest sources of distraction in our lives. I don't believe this, by the way. The average person, Google says, the average person now checks their mobile phone 150 times a day. I say it's way more than that. Way more. I'm sure 150 times a day is a conservative, low-end figure. I know because I'm guilty. My watch is on the phone. My mail is on the phone. My messages are on the phone. My devotion is on the phone. My pictures are, I only need the phone. I don't need the library downtown. Don't need books on my shelf. Just a phone, and it's always before. What? I got a picture of her on my phone. 150 times a day. Everything in our eyesight pulls at our attention. There's a spiritual principle about eyesight, our vision, and what we look at. That's why distractions these days, especially all the digital clutter in our lives, is the principle is this: what we as believers focus on, look at, we give strength to, and we empower it. It becomes bigger. If you have a problem and you focus on your problem, the problem is the only thing in front of your eyes, you're making that problem bigger and bigger and bigger. But if your eyes are on Jesus, he becomes more powerful and bigger and greater and larger than your problem. So because we are spirit beings, one of our attributes is whatever we focus on becomes bigger and more powerful. So I love my phone, and I love the blessings of modern technology, but let's beware that it could become a weight that hinders us in running the race simply because it's a distraction. We should focus our eyes on Jesus. The Bible calls him the author, that's the one who began it, and the perfecter of our faith. Now, the devil makes mistakes a lot, like the garage sale. But Jesus finishes everything he starts. And so he's the author of our faith, that seed of faith that we were born with, that little measure of faith. When we were born, we had enough to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We all were born with the same measure, the same amount of faith. Well, we hear God's word and our faith increases until it reaches the point that we can believe God for every need to be met. And Jesus is the one who began the faith in us. He's also the one who finishes our faith or perfects our faith. So we should keep our focus on him and away from distraction. Also in the scripture, it tells us how Jesus endured the cross, a scornful execution, the most cruel in the history of the world, death by crucifixion on a cross. And the way he was able to endure the cross, some of you are facing things ahead of you, you're not looking forward to it at all. You're praying the same thing Jesus prayed. Oh, Father, don't make me go through this. If there's any way around this, please, I ask you to remove this from in front of me. Nevertheless, Jesus said, your will be done. Some of you may be praying that right now. You'll get through the cross. You'll be able to endure it the same way Jesus did. He said, for the joy that's set on the other side of it. I see the many benefits of what I'm about to do, the many benefits that are going to fall on to generations of people after me. So it's because of the joy on the other side of the cross. That's what gave Jesus the perseverance and the determination to go ahead and power through it, even though the flesh in him did not want to. He saw the incredible benefit of what he was doing in the cross. He saw joy on the other side of it. Now, many people quit because they simply lose their focus. They simply forget what the purpose is, what their mission is. Jesus was tempted to do that, to give up. And he had the power to save himself. And yet he willingly remained faithful. He stayed focused and he didn't give up. That's the winner's code. It's that way for us too as we run our race. We stay focused on the finish line and we just simply don't give up. You will be tempted to. Paul said elsewhere in the New Testament, I press on toward the goal. There is a finish line. He said, I'm pressing toward that. I'm headed that way. I know where I'm headed, and I'm pressing in that direction. And then he said, this one thing I do. Now, that's focus. When you can get everything down to one thing. Oh, how many of you have 100 different things you got to do before you go to bed tonight? I'm amazed at my wife, and I'm sure you're amazed at yours. But we can be in one room of the house, and Brenda will go to the kitchen to get something. Just go in there and get it and bring it back. And it takes her sometimes 15 or 20. She folds clothes on the way. She feeds the cat on the way. I mean, she just does so much. Paul said, I've boiled it all down to one thing. That's focus right there. There's nothing that should distort our clear vision of the finish line that's ahead of us. And no weight that should hinder us as we run in our lane of the race all the way to the finish line. This one thing I do. I forget those things that are. He had a short memory about things in the past that could have held him down. He decided to forget that. One thing is more important, and that's the finish line. And I'm headed this way. And I'm not going to let discouragement do me in. All of us. That's the devil's most worn out tool, discouragement. He'll try it on all of us. And hasn't he already many times? Now, if Jesus had to focus on the goal, he did because he saw the cross. But on the other side of the cross, he saw the joy and the benefit he was bringing to so many people. If Jesus had to focus on the finish line, and if Paul had to focus on the goal, he said, this one thing I do, I press on that way. How much more should we certainly need to be focused on finishing the race strong? And then I love this. It's in there. If you want a really good week-long Bible study, word by word, and digging deep for revelation, try Hebrews 12, the first three verses. It'll last you all week long. Another phrase in there that we read earlier, disregarding the shame. I want to speak to shame right now for a minute. I've done things I'm ashamed of. I'm sure you have too. But part of what Christ did for us on the cross is he suffered the shame. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, he disregarded the shame that fell on him. Well, I'm ashamed of one sin and many more. So are you. But he had every sin that would ever be committed by everybody fall on him. And the shame that comes with sin is scornful. And he had to suffer through that so that we wouldn't have to settle for a life of shame. Isaiah the prophet said, instead of your shame, you will be given double honor. That's what Christ did. So he disregarded the shame. The next time shame comes knocking at your door, don't answer it. He disregarded the shame. Instead of your shame, you will be given double honor. And then finally, in this race, go ahead and expect opposition. It's a race. It's not all downhill. Opposition. Jesus didn't have a cakewalk to victory. He knew what it would take to wind up victorious. It was not easy. He faced opposition, but he ran his race to win. And like Jesus, as our example and the model set for us, we should be determined to stay on course, not give up. There's one thing that will cause believers to give up, and perhaps someone here is struggling with that this week. It's just discouragement. Just things have been so bad for so long, you've lost hope. That hope you used to have that one day things would get better, that in spite of all the problems, God's going to come through for you, and perhaps he hasn't come through yet, or at least like you thought he would by now. And it's easy to become discouraged, but we're to stay on course. After Easter, after that great resurrection day, just a week ago, we should be more determined than ever to run our race in our lane. Don't compare ourselves with a runner in the lane beside us. They may be slower. They may be faster. They have a different call on their life, a different mission. But we all have the same destination in mind. So regardless of things you've suffered, some of you even right now may be in a mess. We're getting ready to pray for you. Some of you may be stretched in relationships. Some of your marriages may be suffering right now. Some of you may be sick in your body, and the doctors are not giving you good news. Some of you may not know where your next paycheck will come from. It's a setback. It's an opportunity for you to get discouraged. But for every setback in the race, God has a major comeback planned. For every setback, a major comeback. Babe Ruth was famous for saying a few things as well as being a great baseball player. And he simply said this, and this is a good closing word before we offer prayer for those in need today. Babe Ruth said, "It's hard to beat a person who never gives up." So we should tell that to our opposition. Take a good look at me. I'm hard to beat because I don't ever intend to give up. Would you stand with me?